Well, the word's good too. Praise God. Thank you, Jeff. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He is faithful. Aren't you glad we can rely on Him? I'm so glad the Bible says in Numbers 23, you know, it says God is not a man that He should lie. And I'm thankful for that. But I just love the first part of that verse even. God is not a man. I'm so thankful. Why? Mankind's moody. Mankind is fickle. Amen. God is faithful all the time. And I'll tell you what, it's awesome to rest in that. And you know, when you start getting ideas that God has left you, that God has given up on you, that God doesn't care about you, I'm here to tell you those are lies from the pit of hell. Because the Bible tells us that God loves us, that God is faithful, that God cares about us. And so praise God. Let's just worship Him. There's such a sweet presence of worship for Him. Just love on Him. Father, we love You this morning. Thank You for healing bodies, touching hearts, changing lives, overturning destinies. You are so good to us, Father. We thank You for Your faithfulness. Thank You for Your kindness. And Father, I thank You for utterance and boldness this morning. Thank You that bullseyes will be hit in each person's heart, speaking specifically to them. Father, that my words would be as the Holy Ghost leads, Father, may I be just a willing vessel and messenger for You this morning, speaking words from heaven. And Father, we'll give You the praise and the glory for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can go to Ephesians chapter 5. This is part 2 of the series we started last week on the subject of love, or God's love, and something that we have to get in us, you know. We'll do a quick review. We mentioned some things last week, and we'll further build upon them. But in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 1, it says, "To be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." And we looked at more modern translations and looked up that word follower. And what did it mean? It means to imitate. To what? Be a copycat. You know, when you're younger and you might yell at your kids or your grandkids, or you're in a situation with children and they copy one another, you might tell them to knock it off. You know, that's annoying. But God is telling us, please copy Me. Amen. Be a copycat. Amen. And why do we want to copy Him? Well, He's perfect. He's never missed it. He's never failed. He's undefeated. He's powerful. He's mighty. And the more we act like Him, the more results we'll get of Him. You know, why do people fail? We fail because when we don't act like Him. When we don't talk like God, it yields the wrong result. When we don't act like God, it yields the wrong result. When we don't think like God, it yields the wrong result. And so the Bible says to imitate Him, imitate greatness. Amen. I know back when I was playing sports and things, I would always try to look to somebody or get advice from somebody that's been further than me, that was better than me, that knew more than me. Why? I want what they have. I want to get what they got, right? We mentioned how Kobe Bryant was just obsessed with Michael Jordan, right? Just modeled his game after him, and he almost pretty much lived a parallel life. You know, Michael Jordan scoring titles, NBA titles, and MVPs, and Kobe Bryant had all the same except one less title than him. And so why? He copied Him. He copied everything that He did, the way He walked, the way He talked, the way He moved on the court, his work ethic. Why? He wanted to be great like Michael Jordan. And the Bible's saying, copy greatness. And He tells us the very first thing after He tells us to follow Him or imitate Him. To me, if He says to copy Me and then He gives me an exact thing to copy, that would say that it's pretty darn important. Pretty high on the priority list of what God's trying to get across to us. He says, imitate Me or copy Me as dear children and walk in love. Well, why would walking in love imitate or copy Him? Because the Bible tells us that God is love. He is love. The very being of Him, everything that He is love. And the Bible tells us to copy Him or to imitate that we ought to be like Him. And that love, when we walk in love, we're walking in God. We're walking as God would walk. You know, one of the reasons God was so powerful and things worked out is He never did it wrong. He always did it right. Amen. And the Bible tells us to walk in love. love to copy him, to imitate him. And so we started looking at that. And we saw some things that this love walk thing, it's not optional if you want to live in victory. If you want to live in the miracle power flow of God, where things are happening, supernatural things are happening, where the favors, open doors, miracle signs and wonders, you can't be without this love. God walked in this because that's who he was, and he had great power from this. Paul, remember, we'll go to 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8. I'll mention a few verses here before we get to verse 8. But remember in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 31, Paul says, I'm going to show you a more excellent way, or the best way to go. And then he talked about, you know, the wedding verses. In chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, remember he said, though I speak with tongues of men and angels, right? But if I have not love, I'm becoming sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, right? Remember he said, I could have faith to move mountains. I could give my body to be burned. I could give all my goods to feed the poor. I could have all knowledge, right? Remember he said all those things. But what did he follow up each of those verses with? But if I have not love, I am nothing. What's he saying? My life will amount to nothing. All you'll have is your own ability, your own power, because to have God's power flowing, and that miracle power of God, it flows in a vein or in a place of love. Glory to God. And verse 8 says this, love, that word charity is the word love, love never fails. Well, you could say it this way, God never fails, or the way of love, it never fails. It is the ultimate road to victory. It's never been defeated. Love never fails. Praise God. If we want victory, then what do you have to do? Walk in love. We mentioned last week, you know, nobody with the Super Bowl predictions, if you were shown in the future that, hey, the Rams are going to win this game and this is the score. God showed it to you so you could be our big Super Bowl winner. We know that's not how Julie won. We know it's just all her extensive knowledge. But if God showed you that, how to win that, you wouldn't say, you know what? Free stuff, free gift cards. I don't want that. I'd rather be a loser. I'm going to choose the Bengals to win on purpose because I like to lose. Nobody, if you're getting picked for team, you know, or picks, I want to pick the team that's going to always lose. You know, unless you're sadistic and a little off upstairs, you know, who likes to always be a loser? You know, that's why, what do we say? How do people make fun of people? I was doing this to Caleb yesterday. Walking around the house, falling. I don't remember what it was about, what happened. And so then he starts mocking me back, you know, with a loser on my head. And I'm like, oh, you can't cop. No, I did it first. You're a loser. But why? We say loser, like as a sign to what? Something that's not good in your life. Nobody likes to be a loser. But ladies and gentlemen, one step out of love is one step into Loserville. Why? Love never fails. Love is the ultimate victory, right? If you choose to walk out of love and things like grudges and unforgiveness and bitterness and offense and talking bad about people and being nasty and unkind and all the things that love isn't, you are saying, even though you don't mean to say it, you are saying, I want to be a loser. I want to not have things work out for me. I want to not have God's power in my life. That's why we better think about the way we act, the way we think, and the way we talk, because it has consequences to it. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, we saw this verse again showing us that it is not optional, that this stuff is not, well, maybe we should do this, maybe not, it's not that big of a deal. Well, it says in verse 6, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. See, and those things don't matter anymore. We're in a new era. But the thing that does matter now is faith. Why does faith matter? Well, Hebrews 11:6 says it's how we please God. 1 John 5 and verse 4 says it's how you overcome. Ephesians 6 and verse 16 says it's how you what? Quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Right? All these verses that tell us... But in Hebrews, what does it say in Hebrews 6:12? That we receive the promises of God through faith and patience. We can't receive God's help unless we're in faith. And so what matters now is faith. But notice this, your faith which worketh. The Amplified says it's activated and energized by love. And what we mentioned last week was that love is like fuel to your faith. What gasoline would be to a vehicle is what faith would be, or love would be to your faith. You know, you can have a beautiful sports car that, man, can go down the road, put the top down and go faster and be in something sharper than ever before. And you can have that and just be sitting here driving, wow, the things that thing can do, but if there's no gas in the tank, right? You can have a big truck that can take you over things and barriers and 4x4 and get you places that a regular car can't. I have all the power to tow and to haul things, but if you have no fuel in that tank, that thing will sit there. And Paul said, I can have faith to remove mountains, but if I don't have love, it won't amount to anything. And so we got to make sure we are walking in faith. Why? We're walking in love so our faith works. Yes, you know, we looked extensively a little while ago at the woman with the issue of blood. The only thing that changed her situation was not how long she suffered, wasn't how much she deserved it, wasn't how kind she was, what a good person she was, all the unjust suffering she'd been through doctors and all the people that were probably nasty to her. She didn't receive it because of those things. She didn't receive it because she was a churchgoer, a good person, and, you know, dotted her I's and crossed her. Nope. She received what Jesus said, daughter, your faith. Your faith made you whole. And there's things in your life. The only thing, that's what we stressed in that service. And remember, that was the day we tried to encourage you, make it a declaration, make it a life's long goal to live in faith. Why? That's how you get God's power. But now we add to it and we see that without love, our faith, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much you think God can turn your finances around. It doesn't matter how much you think God's going to turn your finances around, how powerful he is to heal your body and help your children. If you don't have love, your faith is nothing. It's nothing. Glory to God. I always tell this story because it stuck out to me so much years ago. I was talking to a gentleman, a Christian man, and this Christian man knew the word, loved God, was having real bad problems in his shoulder and couldn't lift his shoulder, above his waist, just start to bother him. Even driving and holding it up would just be so painful. And this person knew the word on healing, knew the word on faith. And this person had also had hands laid on him by many ministers that we recognize and know that have tangible healing anointings, you know, that they get results where people are actually being healed. And this person for years, the shoulder problem kept getting worse. And there they are confessing the word. I believe in healing. Father, I believe in your power. Hands are laid on me. I mean, having things called out in service for shoulders and other people come up and get results and he wouldn't. And so finally, he's driving down the road one day and the pain is just so bad. And he just, out of frustration, you know, he said, I know you're faithful. I know the word works, Father. But this is getting worse. And it's not just a season of a test. This is becoming a lifestyle of this pain. What's going on? And the Holy Spirit spoke up on the inside and said loud and clear to the person, the reason you're not getting your healing is because you have not forgiven your father. Now, I don't know exactly what his dad had done, but when the Spirit of God said that, he recognized, I've been bitter and holding a grudge against my dad for years, for years, for years to come. Well, we know this, and we'll look at it probably in this series, look at unforgiveness a little bit. Unforgiveness is just walking out of love. That's all it is. It's walking out of love. What happens when you walk out of love? You drain your faith tank. And you can confess, my shoulder's healed, and have powerful ministers lay hands on you. But if there's no fuel there, the faith's not working. So he was obviously convicted in his spirit. And you know, he didn't feel like forgiving. Again, we'll look at forgiveness, but forgiveness is not a feeling. Once you get a hold of that, it'll set you free. Forgiveness is a choice. And you know, he was justified to feel the way he felt too. You know, he was wrong. No doubt he was wrong, but the Bible says to forgive. So he repented. Father, I am so sorry for holding that grudge and being outside the boundaries of your word. I forgive my dad for whatever he did to me. He said instantly he could feel something, a warm feeling from the top of his head go down to the bottom of his feet, and his shoulder completely healed, began to wave it around the car, no pain for ever since then. It's not optional. I'm confessing for my finances and treat my spouse like crap. Don't expect your blessings. Oh, I'm confessing for my healing in my body and confessing for my finances, confessing for my children. But behind my boss's back and my coworkers, I rip them and talk bad about them. And I'm part of the gossip train at the workplace. And I have grudges and bitterness. I'm offended at someone. I'm mad at them. Okay. You can stay there. If you want to, while we all look at you and do this, think how pride works. Pride will get you to just step over into Loserville. And it's like, no, what did he have to do? He had to drop his pride and say, yeah, he doesn't deserve it. But you know what? You didn't deserve it either when Jesus died on the cross. But thank God he did it. That's why I'm glad God's not a man. Men hold it against you and say, I'm not doing that because of how you are. But thank God he didn't. So it's not optional, you know. Years ago, I had went to a dentist, and they said, oh my gosh. And this is the reaction of every dental, hygienist, assistant, whoever they are, dentist, orthodontist, when they look in my mouth and they see my wisdom teeth. They say, we have not seen wisdom teeth impacted or the way that they're laying in your mouth. You need to get that fixed. And this was like 20-some years ago. And I had just gotten saved not too long ago and started to learn about the Holy Spirit and got filled with the Holy Ghost. And so I went to an orthodontist and he looked at him. I said, wow, those things, are they giving you any trouble? I said, no. I said, well, the dentist said that they're going to give me trouble. And everyone I see now, even to this day, say, those are going to give you trouble. Those are going to give you trouble. They've been telling me that for 20 years. And I had a check in my spirit that when the dentist said to me, you need to go get those looked at orthodontist, I still made the appointment, but I had a check in my spirit saying, don't do anything about these wisdom teeth. And when I went to see the orthodontist, he said, wow, those are something, you know. And he said, if they're not bothering you, I wouldn't touch them. He said, because the way that they're in there, it's almost guaranteed if we take those out, we're going to have nerve damage. Well, the Holy Ghost already told me, don't mess with them. Just put your faith on it. So for 20-some years, I've been just, thank you, Father. It's not, and I never had an issue with them. And so every time, I just went recently to a new dentist, and they look, oh my gosh, you need to get those taken care of. I said, don't talk to me about this. Just leave me alone. I'll do what I want. But anyways, the one thing that they did say is that I need to keep that area clean because you don't want to get a cavity in those and you don't want anything bad to happen to those, so keep it rinsed out. And so I don't know if you are aware, if you use this thing, but have you heard of those, what are they called, water picks, where it's like a little tube, it kind of looks like an electric toothbrush, but it's got a little tube on the end, and you fill that up and you press the on button and it shoots a high-powered stream of water into your mouth, and that is just the funnest thing. You know, one time when I was in college, I went to the nurse, my ear was all, I couldn't hear anything out of one ear. She said, oh, I got the thing for you. She pulled out this balloon-looking thing, filled it up with hot water, squirted in my ear, and what came out? It was awesome. I mean, just all over. And the first time after I ate and used that water pick, things are falling. Look at all that stuff. So I get that thing right in the back there, you know, and we'll squirt that thing out of there. Why am I telling this story? Because all of a sudden my water pick, it started to not work as good, and it was charged up, and I'm not feeling the same force, and it's kind of sputtering and spattering, and I'm not sure why, and I'm kind of looking at it. And upon closer examination, I had found that in my cleaning after one of my popcorn events, there was a small little kernel in there, and the tube is so small because the water stream is so small that it got in there, and it was plugging up the flow. It was plugging up the flow. Well, I needed to get that out because I don't want the flow plugged up. Amen? And I'll tell you in a second, I got that out, but my point is, what miracle power of God is being plugged up in your life because you're choosing to be bitter? I'm going to stay mad at them and think in my head all the things I'd like to tell them. Why? Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to plug up the flow? God's flow and God's greatness is a place of love. And, you know, I'll just say it this way. Paul was stressing to us how it's not optional. We ought to not be casual about this flow being plugged up. We need the miracle power of God. Your family, your children. I'm telling you, there is a real life devil who's really stealing, killing, and destroying. And you know who he really likes to go after? The kids. He loves to go after the kids. Why? The kids don't have the faith to stand on their own. But you know who does? Mom and dad or guardian or whoever it is has the faith to stand. But if your faith is all messed up and jacked up because you're choosing to be a loser, you're hurting them. You're hurting your finances. You're hurting the favor that's supposed to come, the healing in your body. We ought not to be casual. So when that was plugged up, You know, because I noticed that, wow, I've rinsed my mouth, and I rinse and rinse with water after I eat and with the mouthwash. And, I, you know, I'll see things come out, obviously, but not like I did with the water pick. Yeah. Holy cow, that gets right in there. So I was concerned, like, I got to get that out, and I couldn't get that out of there. I couldn't reach it with a needle. And so if you ever try to blow up one of those whoopee cushions, and it's like you about pop your head off trying to blow it. So I pulled the little tube off, and I'm blowing on this thing to try to get it out from both angles and just running water, and it's hit and start. I wasn't being casual with unplugging that flow. Why? If that flow stays plugged up, it's going to eventually hurt my life. And so finally I got that thing out, and it was like, oh, that sweet power again, you know? And the Bible doesn't tell us to be casual about love. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1, go there. I'm going to read it in the King James, and then we're going to look at the Amplified and see what it says about this love. You know, when it comes to the area of faith, love is not, well, you know how I say with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit's not diet God. Right. He's just as much God. When it comes to the power of God, love is just as important as faith is. It's just as important as faith is. It is. And so it's not like the diet part of faith or the lesser part of faith, and we just, no, teach us about speaking, teach us about confessing to the mountain and standing. None of that will work without this in place. And so it's vital. But 1 Corinthians 13, or 14 and verse 1, look what it says in the King James. It says, follow after love, desire spiritual gifts, and rather that you may prophesy. But Ginny, if you would, go back to verse 13 and pull it up in the Amplified Bible. Chapter 13 in verse 13. I want you to see this in the Amplified chapter. I'll pull it up on my phone here in case we can. Yeah, if you just go to the King James or the Amplified Bible with that. And so faith, hope, and love abide. Faith, conviction, belief, respecting man's relation to God, divine things, hope, joyful, confident, expectation of eternal salvation, love, true affection for God and man, growing out of God's love for and in these three. Go to the next slide. But the greatest, look at this, the greatest of anything, of these things, is love. And then he goes on to tell us in chapter 14, verse 1, and we'll keep it in the Amplified. Eagerly pursue, doesn't sound casual. And seek to acquire, this love. Make it, what? A life of love. Your aim. Your great quest. Do you see that there? I wasn't casual about getting that out of the water pick. Why? I didn't want to lead to the wrong things. You ought to not be casual about making sure this love reigns and rules in your life and isn't plugged up in your life. Why? If you are, it'll lead to wrong things that you don't want and that you can't afford. Eagerly pursue and seek to acquire. Make it your aim, your great quest. Listen to what the Message Bible says. Go after a life of love as if your life depends on it, because it does. That's what the Bible says. So the Message Bible says, go after a life of love as if your life depends on it. Well, your life depends on you having faith. Some people are healed and don't die because of their faith. The woman with the issue of blood was healed because of her faith. Blind Bartimaeus could see because of his faith. The Syrophoenician woman in Matthew 15, her daughter was fixed from that grievously vexing of that devil because of her faith. Well, you got to have love. We're taught this, right? You got to have love as well. Praise God. And so it tells us here what our attitude or ideas ought to be concerning love. Eagerly pursuing it, seeking it, making it our aim, and making it our great quest. And how many of you know we, as human beings, we have a lot of things that we're passionate about. A lot of things that we pursue and seek and make it our great quest. And don't get me wrong, God has put us in a planet Earth with wonderful things and desires that we each have to enjoy. But he tells us, now what's interesting about this is you can also interchange it not only of walking in love, but God is also love. So when you're pursuing and seeking it, you're pursuing and seeking him. And what does the Bible say? Seek ye first him, right? That's what it's telling us. And so it's telling us not to be casual, but how many of you know we can be so casual towards the things of God? We can be so just flippant about the things of God. And here Paul's telling us how vital it is, and you need to make it a pursuit. You need to eagerly pursue this thing. I was thinking about a gentleman that I knew, quite accomplished as a hunter. He took me into his trophy room, and I've never seen anything like it before. And he has some, it's not a record, but it's a standing of every big game North American animal he has killed with a bow, and he's got every one of them on the wall in his office. And when I went over to see it, he said to me, he said, pick an animal. I said, okay, that animal, which there's different types of elk and different things. There's the elk called the Roosevelt elk, which is out west like in Oregon. I said, the Roosevelt elk. And he gave me the name of that animal, of the specific biological name. Oh, that's the Indomus butarororor. You know, like it's got a certain name. And he handed me a binder that was about this thick. I opened it, and all through that binder were notes and DVDs of that one species. Became proficient at. Well, he has a polar bear that he got too. In preparation for this polar bear hunt, he didn't go after it casually. This was a picture of eagerly pursuing it. This gentleman, as ridiculous as it sounds, bought a walk-in freezer to have at his house, and he would go out and sit in it in his long johns until he could take it no more, and then went in his house to what? Get ready for the conditions that he'd have to hunt to get the polar bear. He sold the thing after he got the polar bear. That's eagerly pursuing, making it your aim. Yes, yes. And yeah, the polar bear's cool at the end, but a polar bear in the end can't do what love can do for us. And how many of the other things do we have? Hobbies, jobs, different things that our attention, our pursuit. And Paul says, this needs to be your aim. Why? Because faith can do for you what no other force on earth can. Amen. Glory to God. And look what he says here in this verse. He says, make it your aim. Well, I'm so thankful that I don't have to try to figure out what the bullseye of love is. Right? You know, I say this at weddings a lot of times. I'll say, when I'm addressing a couple, the thing I'll say the same to each and every couple is, the best thing you can do in this marriage is to have the only battle be to outdo each other in love. To wake up every day to have that battle. That's the only argument. That's the only war there should be, the war of love. And I'll say, you know, if I were to ask the congregation, what does love look like? So many people would give different answers. And I'm so thankful that we don't have to wonder where the target is. You know, remember before the season Caleb went hunting, I think you killed a deer when you were 7 years old. And I had bought a life-size deer cardboard target and took it down to the range with him. And he had been shooting with me his 243 rifle. And you know, a deer is a big target. And there's lots of places you can hit on a deer. But there's one place that will be ethical and for the animal and be a quick kill and things like that. And so we walked down to the target, the 100 yards. And I pointed right behind the shoulder. I said, right in this area. That's where you want to put the crosshairs, buddy. Not on the tail, not on the head, not on the leg, not on the rump, not in the middle of the deer, right behind the shoulder, right here. And so he shot and sighted the gun and got it and was good. But I'm so thankful that with love, God's not saying, well, what is it? Is it just kindness? Is it just being nice to people? Is it compassion? No, we have an example. Go to John chapter 13, verse 34. What does love look like? John 13 and verse 34. And I don't know how long we'll be in this flow in this series for, but until we get our point across, I guess. Hallelujah. John 13, 34. Jesus said a new commandment. I give unto you that you love one another. Well, there we go. There it is. That's that love. But there again, if the verse just stopped there, say, okay, what the heck does that mean? What does that look like? But he didn't leave us there. What did he do? He walked us down to the target. Yeah. And he pointed right to it and he said, as I have loved, you love one another that way. Praise God. I'm so thankful that Jesus showed us, praise God, that he didn't just expect us to figure it out. But what did he mean by, as I have loved you? Well, when you look at how Jesus loved, we see that in the Bible, there's different kinds of love. And really, if you just want to sum it up into two things, there's a divine kind of love and there's a human kind of love. Well, the Bible says that God is love. Well, God is not a human. So God's love can't be natural. It can't be a human kind of love. And Jesus said that you love agape, the same word that the Bible says God is agape or God is love. Jesus said we are to love with that kind of love as I have agape or I have loved you. So Jesus is saying the way that I loved was not with a natural love. It was with a supernatural divine love, and that is the love you are to love one another with. Amen? And I want to show you, even hone in on the target even more, what the main characteristic of this divine agape God kind of love that fuels our faith. And remember, why is it important? Well, I have a tractor that I've been using, and you can't just stick any type of fuel in that tractor and expect it to work. I can't put unleaded in there. I can't put the mixture of the oil and gas that maybe you'd put in a weed whacker or a chainsaw can't go in there. I have to put in diesel fuel for that thing. If I don't put it in, it doesn't run right. Well, we could try to walk in love the way we want to and the way we think, but if it's not the love that he's telling us to love with, it's putting the wrong fuel in the tank and it'll affect our faith. But thank God he told us what kind of fuel to get, what kind of fuel to put in there. He says, put in the agape love, the kind of love that I love with, the divine love. Now, the main characteristic in identifying our target, and this is where people miss the mark, is that agape love, or the God kind of love that we are to walk with, talk with, think with, and act with, this is where it gets tough for people, has nothing to do with how you feel. Has nothing to do with how you feel. And why do people miss the mark? Because we're called to walk in a certain standard to keep the fuel in the tank. Agape love. Well, think about Jesus. Did Jesus love based on how he felt? No. He just loved from that plane of that agape love. And so many times, we walk in a human kind of love, the imperfect kind of love, which is what? I will love you if you do right by me. If I like you, if you're kind to me, if you don't give me a heart, then I'll do good to you. Amen? And you're going to see that's carnal. That's baby-ish. It has nothing to do with our feelings. In fact, you have to violate your feelings to be successful. Remember my one and only golf lesson? Remember that story, the golf lesson? I went, you know, and I came as a baseball player, and the golf instructor, because I'd go play golf, and I'd lose so many balls and take so many shots, and it just was getting frustrating, not fun. It's like, I want to be able to hit straight. So I went, and the golf instructor said, hit a few balls. So I'd hit, and first thing he said to me is, you're a baseball player. See, he goes, oh boy, we got to correct you. So he's like, show me how you stand. Show me how you hold the club. Well, He kind of got behind me, not in a way that Patrick Swayze got behind Demi Moore in Ghost, not that way, but he kind of got behind me and with my hand on the club, and he's kind of reaching around me, you know, and he's pulling my feet out and stance, and he's taking my fingers and he's locking them together and he's holding my club, and I'm like, this doesn't feel right. What did he say? If you want to start hitting the ball straight, you need to hold it like this. I don't care how it feels. This is the right way. He said, you can sit there and grip it how you want, stand how you want, and just hit it like a baseball player like you want, and you're going to keep slicing it and dicing it. And sometimes it'll go straight down the fairway, but the majority of the times, he says, just trust me. So I grabbed that club, felt so awkward, felt so bad, stood like he wanted me to stand. He was off to the side at this time. And I went and did it, and I couldn't believe. Straight down the fairway. Because I don't have a problem with eye-hand coordination. Straight down the fairway. And he said, and he's just standing there, you know, see what I told you? And it's the same thing with love. Walking in love does not feel good at times. It feels awkward. It feels unjustified. It feels like you're being wronged by walking in love. But what you're doing the whole time is you're dumping fuel in that tank of faith. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to show you in Luke 23:34. Let's see that love in action that Jesus, which was what? The main identifying target that has nothing to do with your feelings. Luke 23:34. Aren't you glad Jesus showed us and didn't just tell us? Amen. Luke 23:34, Jesus is now on the cross. And you have to remember with Jesus, he didn't get a pass because he was Jesus from being tired on the earth. He didn't get a pass. I'll say it this way. Jesus didn't get a pass from being human. What happens as humans? We get tired. We get hungry. We get tempted. Right? We feel pain. Jesus was all God on the earth, but he was God that laid aside his deity to become a man. And it said in verse 34, now remember where he is when he says this. He's already been spit on, cursed at. He's already been beaten to the point where the Bible says that his body was so marred beyond the point of any man. Didn't even look human. Nailed with the cat of nine tails, just hamburger meat. Crown of thorns jammed on his head. Nails in his hands, nails in his feet. Hung up on a cross, gasping for air. The worst place Jesus has ever been physically. The most pain, the most suffering, the most hurt, the most awful that people have ever been to him is in that moment. And look at what your Savior opens his mouth and says. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What's he showing us? Love in action. What did he say? Love as I have loved. Well, what's he saying? You need to walk in this love regardless of what your feelings are telling you. Remember, Jesus was human. What would you be thinking? The Bible said he had the power to call legions of angels. The Romans didn't kill him. Pilate didn't kill him. The Jews didn't kill him. The devil didn't kill him. Jesus laid his life down. He said, I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it back if I want. So Jesus wasn't some ragdoll that had been taken hostage, you know, and couldn't get out of it. No, he willingly laid his life down. That's why it's so special. Well, you can imagine, the Bible says he was in all points tempted as we are, but yet he didn't sin. You can imagine the thoughts would come into his head. Strike them down. Basically, you can all just go to hell. I don't care about you, what you did to me. I mean, those are the thoughts you'd get. But he didn't go by his feelings. He didn't go by what he thought. He didn't go by what his body and mind were telling him. He went by what love would do. He was governed by love. Amen. And thank God he was. And look what it says in Colossians 3:14. Oh boy. It's time to put it back on you now. We're going to look at specifics going forward in this series. And man, I'll tell you what, you better bring your steel toe boots. Because we are going to step on toes going forward. We are. Because some of your attitudes, you don't realize it's plugging up the flow. Some of your thinking, some of the way that you've been, it's like it's just hurting you. Nobody's mad at you or trying to be down on you, but my goodness, if we don't fix the things we're doing wrong, it's going to keep hurting us. Colossians 3 and verse 14. And above all these things, well, we might as well go back to verse 13. We'll probably look at this verse more and we'll go forward, but it says, forbearing one another, forgive one another. If any man have a quarrel against you, as Christ forgave you, so you also do. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. You see that there? It's the bond of maturity. It's the bond of completeness. It says, above everything, you put on love. You put on love. Well, you might not have felt like getting your kids ready and dressing them and putting a coat on them before you took them out today, but you did it because it was right. Right? Going to the store, or putting on things, different things, putting on sunscreen. That's one of the most annoying things in the summer when your kids are little, is putting sunscreen everywhere. Well, why do you put it on? Because if you don't, there's trouble. I don't feel like putting it on. So what? You do it. I don't want to put it on. So what? You do it. I don't want my kids to get burnt. I don't want them to get hurt. You do it. Well, I don't want to forgive. So what? You do it. You don't want to get burnt. Well, I don't want to be kind and compassionate. So what if you don't want to and don't feel like it? Do you want to get burnt in life? No, you don't. Amen. Hallelujah. Almost finished here. Let me just finish up with a couple things here. He expects us to walk in this love. When he says, I'm demonstrating it, I expect you to walk into it. In 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 1, I want to show you something here. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So what's he saying to this church? I have to talk to you like you're spiritual wah-wahs.
Come on. Come on. That's good.
That's what he says. I can't speak to you as spiritual. That's mature. I got to talk to you as carnal like a little baby. I mean, a baby's act a certain way. He said in verse 2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto or up until now you're not able to hear it. Neither now are you still able to eat the meat. Still got to have milk. Caleb's 12 or 11? 11. Caleb's 11. If he's still just only able to have a bottle with milk, something's wrong. It's time for his diet to start getting more solid food as he grows. And you say, I can't even get you the solid stuff. I still got to feed you like you're a baby. Why? Because you're acting like a baby. Verse 3, for you are yet carnal. For where unto you there is envying? Well, if you're walking in love, there wouldn't be. And strife. There's no strife where love is. And divisions. There's no divisions where love is. Are you not carnal and walk as men or mere men? What's he saying? You ought to not walk like a normal mortal man. Why? You have the God inside you. You ought to walk as a spiritual being. Filled with love. But listen to what the Message Bible says. I just love it. I don't go there a whole lot with this, but some of the things it brings out, it just is entertaining, really. But for right now, friends, I'm completely frustrated by your unspiritual dealings with each other and with God. You're acting like infants in relation to Christ, capable of nothing more than nursing at the breast. Yikes. Well, then I'll nurse you since you don't seem capable of anything more. As long as you grab for what makes you feel good or makes you look important, are you really that much different than a babe at the breast, content only when everything's going your way? Oh, I've been just hammering my kids lately. You know, I've done things before that I call character builders. What's that mean? There's one time I made Caleb go straight up and down the basement stairs to get me something, and he could have got it all in one trip 7-8 times. Why? Just build his character. Just because every time I said I need this, he's got to respond the right way. It's not okay for him to huff and puff. The Bible says children ought to honor and obey their parents. Why? That it may be well with them to live long on the earth. So why do I command that on him? Because I care about him. I'm not raising some mouth that's going to get out of line and what? And then have hell on earth come to their life. So we have character building times. Yeah. Oh yeah, go get me this. And he'll just smile, turn around. Why? It's the only accept. And he knows you huff and puff and give me attitude. We'll do this all day long. I don't care. It's fun for me. But now, you know, we'll have different things where Caleb, do this. Well, that's Abby's. I should have to clean that up. Or Abby say, I didn't get that. That's Caleb's. And I'll look at him and say, aren't you glad Jesus didn't look at that way at your sin? He died for your sin. It wasn't his sin. It was your sin. Imagine if you'd have said that. What am I trying to do? Teach them. But why are they acting like that? Because they're kids. And that's how adults act. Well, I'm not going to be nice to them because they're not nice to me. Well, they talk bad about me, so I'm going to certainly talk bad about them. Wah, wah, wah. They're, change your diaper. Come on, get on the cleaning table. Lift your legs up. Ooh. It's the truth. That's what we're like when we walk out of love. Hold grudges. We're nothing but little babies. That's how babies act. Well, I'm not going to be good because you're not good to me. Well, she never helps me. Well, I'm not going to help her then. Or vice versa. Well, they're growing into being mature, right? Adults act like that all the time. They don't realize you're plugging up the flow. And last but not least, we'll close with this. Romans 5 and verse 5. Make sure you throw this away at the end of service. Got some stuff on it. Some spiritual poop on that thing. So Romans 5 and verse 5. Look what it says here. We might think, okay, wow. Because I want to make sure you understand this. I am not belittling when you are wronged. I am not belittling when someone has hurt you and done things that is justifiably makes you angry, makes you sad, that has set your life back. I mean, there's some people that have had awful, unspeakable things done to them. And I'm not belittling that. What I am trying to point out to you is that Jesus said, walk in love no matter what, forgive no matter what. And again, we'll hone in on a few of these specific areas of love going forward. But you might think to yourself and feel hopeless, like, I know Jesus acted like that on the cross, but I can't do that. I don't have that ability. And you might be discouraged and think, they did this to me. I don't know how on earth I could ever forgive them. Or they're so nasty to me. How on earth could I ever be kind and loving and walk in this love? I'm always going to fail. And you might feel that way until now. And hope maketh not ashamed, verse 5. Because, look at this, the love of God. Not the love of man. Not human love that fails. The love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto me. Do you remember the dream I had about elk hunting years ago? I was sitting in a living room, and I knew in the dream I was in Colorado in a big cabin. And I was in that living room looking out at these big picture windows at the mountains, and I could see coming up over the valley and over the hill tips of antlers. And the real big elk, on the tips of their antlers, it's like they have like white tips on there. And I could see it, and I knew in the dream, oh my gosh, this, here it comes. And this thing came walking in, and a dream of mine is to get a trophy elk, you know, and it came in and it stood 20 yards broadside. And as the elk was walking in the dream, the walls and the house disappeared. And so now I was just out in the open with this elk, and it came in, never saw me, it stood 20 yards. Now, an elk target is so much bigger than a deer target. You ought to be able to hit that at 20 yards with your eyes closed. It's huge. I mean, it's so much bigger of an area than a whitetail. Slam dunk, 20 yards, broadside, it's feeding, not even looking at me. And in the dream, I all of a sudden realized, I don't have my bow. I don't have my equipment. Where are my arrows? And you ever had it's kind of like the dream that you're sitting in your underpants in your classroom, and you're like, what is happening? Where's my pants? Anyone ever had a dream like that? And you're like, ah! Or, you know, it's like you need to get somewhere and you're just moving so slow in the dream. Well, that was one of those dreams, that helpless feeling of what? My dream is coming true and I don't have my bow. I can't do anything about this, and that feeling of hopelessness. And some of you might feel that way about this. How can I ever? But the Bible tells you that you have the goods to do what you need to do. How could someone on the cross, beaten, bloodied, nailed, spit at, cursed at, hurt, insulted, out of his mouth say, Father, forgive him? Because he was filled with the love of God. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God, that same love that compelled Jesus to be able to walk in love in that situation where his feelings wouldn't feel it, it's the same exact love that you have. Amen? And in this series, we'll learn on how to draw that out, how to live in that, how to make it easy, but also look at specific things of what love is and line it up with our own lives. Amen? How are we treating one another? How are we talking to one another? What's our thoughts like? What's our actions like? Does it line up with love? We'll look at those things, and we'll also learn how to better walk in that. Amen? It's not optional, but you have the goods. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning, for this message, for all the revelation we may have got. Father, I pray that this would be branded in people's hearts, that they would make this their aim, that they would pursue this, that they would look at their own life and say, you know what? I'm not only going to go after God, but I'm going to go after what God is, and God is love. And I pray for light and revelation for each person concerning this topic, Father, that they would begin to walk in this flow and in this blessing. And if that faith pipeline has been plugged up, Father, that'll all get flushed out when they walk in love and start walking. So that's my prayer for each person. And Father, we just thank you for the love that you showed us. Jesus demonstrated on the earth. And Father, you demonstrated it. In Romans 5:8, it says that you demonstrated your love for us. Again, you didn't just talk the talk, you walked the walk. And that while we were yet sinners, the Bible says Christ died for us. Thank you, Father, that when I was a sinner, when I was an enemy, when I was apart from you, you loved me so much. You didn't say to hell with him. He can burn in hell. He's terrible. He talks wrong. He thinks wrong. He acts wrong. No, you loved me so much. You gave me Jesus. And if I could ask everybody to bow their heads and to close their eyes here this morning. Y'all have an opportunity to be a recipient of God's love, and it starts at the cross. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. I want to assure you, first of all, I won't embarrass anybody. I won't have you come forward or stand up or say anything on your own. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. And this is for you on live stream as well. If you're not sure that you'd go to heaven after your life would end on this earth, or if Jesus would come back, you're not sure you'd go with him. And if there's a little bit of doubt, like, I don't know if I'm good enough, I don't know if I'd make it, I want to show you or tell you in the Bible how you can be 100% positive and lay your head on your pillow tonight knowing I'm going to heaven someday, that I'm his child. The Bible says there's only one way to do that. It's through Jesus. And it comes through two things, believing and receiving. Once you believe, you call on his name or ask him into your heart. It's not about going to church or not going to church. It's not about if you're good or if you're bad. It's not about how much money you've given or how little money you've given, how moral you are, how ethical. None of that stuff matters. It's all good to be. It's good to be good and stay away from bad things, but that's not how you get into heaven. Jesus said in John 3:16, "For God so loved that he gave." And he said, his only son, that whosoever, and the qualifications come after that, would believe on him. That's the qualifications. And then in Romans 10 and verse 13, it says, call on his name, which would be a declaration of your belief. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm not asking you to do anything but make a commitment to him and ask him into your heart. And you say, how do I know? Something on the inside of your spirit, in that belly region, that center of a person, is telling you, this is for me. Today's my day to be blessed. Today's my day to enter into a relationship with him. So if you've never prayed that prayer, if you've already done it, you don't have to do it again. But if you've never prayed that prayer and you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, again, you're not joining this church. Nobody's looking around. It's between you and God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you want to receive the Lord, would you lift your hand in the air? I'll have you put it right back down. Please don't let this moment pass you by. Don't let pride, don't let being shy, you know, keep you from this. Is there anyone that you've never received Jesus? You can say, I never have officially asked him into my life. Is there anybody at all you want to receive that before we close? I never like to rush this part because human beings are shy at times. And obey that inkling in your heart, that unction in your heart. Anybody at all before we close the service want to receive Jesus? Just lift your hand in the air. I'll have you put it right back down. Anybody at all? Father, as I look around, I don't see any hands. So I trust and hope that everyone in here is walking in the light of salvation. They've all received Jesus. But if by chance there's anyone in here, anybody watching now or in the future via the archive, I pray they would not pass from this life till they make Jesus the Lord and Savior of their life. And if you're wondering, how do I do that? It's simple. You say, Jesus, I believe in you. Cry out. Mean it with all your heart. I believe in you. I believe you died. I believe you rose again. And I ask you to come into my heart. And if you say, I still don't understand any of this. I'm confused. My number's on the website. My email's on the website. Get a hold of me and we'll go through what the Bible says and we'll help you. We'll get you started into your best life ever. So Father, I pray that for each person, that no one would miss out on heaven. Let's just praise him and give him glory before we close this service. We might have to do some repenting, you know, just to walk in love and put our pride down. But Father, we're growing. And we thank you that you're patient with us, Father. You're not mad at us, which is awesome. You're not condemning us, you're not judging us, you're encouraging us. Even through correction, it's encouragement because you love us. So Father, thank you for that love. We understand. And remember this, God never deals with you through condemnation. God never deals with you through guilt or pressure. He deals with you through love and peace. So Father, thank you for that, those gentle reminders and for loving us. We praise you and magnify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you run out of here, a couple things. Don't forget, no Wednesday this week. There's fellowship. And also, if you were one of those winners, please come up and see me. I'd like to get your email address and also give you your gift card. But love you. Appreciate the rest of you. We'll see you next Sunday. You are dismissed.